At this point, the story has become so huge. The head of Scotland Yard resigning. One of the assistant commissioners resigning. Rebecca Brooks, the chief of News International in Britain, resigning. And Rupert Murdoch and his son James testifying for British Parliament. It's hard to remember that this all started with the simple act, illegal act, but the simple act of hacking into cell phones. And so the question for John Keefe, news director at WNYC Radio, who is the co-producer for The Takeaway, the question for you, John Keefe, was just how difficult is it to hack into a cell phone? And so you started with your own iPhone, I understand.
That's correct. It turns out it's not very difficult at all. In the WNYC newsroom, we started with my own phone, and I was able to, with a computer and without a password and without even my own cell phone, listen to a voicemail message from my wife from the day before. It was incredibly easy.
So you just needed your cell phone number and your computer.
So basically, here's how it works. Some voicemail systems allow you to check your messages without a password if you're using your own phone, right? We all have passwords to check voicemail messages from other phones. But with your own phone, sometimes you can just go ahead and listen to it. What we did is that we impersonated the phone number of our own phone using this thing called caller ID spoofing. Basically, we faked my own caller ID to my voicemail system, and my voicemail system said, hey, I recognize you. Here are your voicemail messages.
Is this independent of any service, AT&T, Verizon, so T-Mobile?
This was not a scientific survey by any means. But we tried 8 different phones on 4 different carriers.
Legally. This was all legal.
This was all. We did it all together. This was a collaborative effort. We only did it
all
onto
voluntary.
Our own phones, correct? And we were able to do it with 2 AT&T phones, one of the 2 Sprint phones. We're not able to do it with the T-Mobile or Verizon phones.
And then I understand you actually contacted a couple of the phone companies to ask them about this, how they prevented this from happening.
So Verizon basically said that they require a 4-digit passcode for checking your messages from any phone, including your own phone. And that apparently thwarted us on that. And AT&T said that this feature that allows you to do that checking without the password is something that they offer their customers. I use that. It's very convenient, but that you can actually go in and turn that off if you log into your account on their website.
You can make it so you use a password.
That's correct.
Now, we have no idea if this sort of hacking that you did has anything to do with the technology that motivated the whole phone hacking thing at News Corp.
Right? That's right. I'm not quite sure exactly how they went about doing it, but I will say that this was all it took, really, was a $10 fee to one of these spoofing companies. And it didn't take any extra programming. You did not have to be a programmer to do this. Basically, all I needed was my own cell phone number.
All right. So, what this really gets to is this line, because, I mean, I imagine if someone said, okay, here's the phone number for Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the former IMF chief. John Keefe, here's his phone number, and all you have to do is pay $10 and you can hack in to listen to his voicemail messages.
That's right. That's exactly true.
Would you
do it? That would be illegal. I would not do that as a journalist. We pride ourselves on our ethics and in our shop, and so we don't do things like that. We try to conduct journalism in the open and be honest.
Things like that. There's the key.
Sure. It's a question of, you know, what your standards are. We try to be honest and fair, and we try to follow some sort of high-minded principles, but that's us. Other organizations may be different.
We're speaking with John Keefe, who's a news director at WNYC Radio, the co-producer for The Takeaway. So you do the ethical guidelines for your newsroom are the ethical guidelines for The Takeaway.
They are.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad to learn that
Celeste.
This morning. But part of what's going on at News Corp, and you've got these 2 cops who are answering questions with the British Parliament, it's all about the relationship between the source in law enforcement and the news organization. How closely do you oversee the relationship between sources and reporters as a matter of ethics, and how closely can you do that?
So what we try to do, first of all, reporters have sources. Good reporters have really good sources and people who will tell them things. What we do is we try to keep a conversation going about ethics, and we bring things up. And a lot of times it's hard to know. Wait, does this cross the line? Does it not? We find that if we talk about it more often, we can try to navigate those issues. And we really try to stay away from, and we absolutely force folks to stay away from things that are illegal and unethical.
But for each journalistic source, for the New York Times, for the Wall Street Journal, they all make up their own ethical guidelines, right?
That's right. There's no sort of law or industry standard per se. There are some industry guidelines that people build off of, but every organization has its own ethics. And I think this probably makes sense.
Really? I mean, at this point, as you're saying, short of breaking the law, which obviously illegal, not good, short of that, every news organization gets to decide where that line is, where you've gone too far, how to cross that line and why not to.
I think that's right. I mean, and it also brings up the question of what is a journalistic organization? I mean, that's an open question too. I think for us, what we decide to do is these are the principles we want to follow so that our listeners can trust us.
So getting back to the phone hacking business, would you have rather that it had been hard to hack into a phone or rather that it's easy? And is there an ethical question depending on how that turns out? In other words, is it more unethical if it's more difficult and involves actually collusion with the company or even a law enforcement source?
I think that it is an interesting question because some systems are put into place to keep honest people honest, right? You lock your bike with a kind of a weak chain, and it's going to keep the honest people from walking away with your bike. Now, if somebody has a cutter, they can cut it and go. I will say that it was pretty startling to actually hack into my own phone when it was so easy and I could hear my messages. That was a little unnerving.
You were imagining somebody else within minutes listening to your phone messages.
Imagine how I felt listening to those weird messages yesterday, too. I didn't hack into his phone. I did not.
You could have for $10.
I could have for $10.
So really, the bottom line here, John Keefe, is put a password on your voicemail.
So put a password on your voicemail for listening to messages from your own device. And one other thing, a red flag. Every time we did this, we left a missed call on my phone from my own phone number. If you ever see that, I think that's a pretty...
And also if your voicemail messages, as I understand, if they show up as they've already been listened to...
Yeah, that'd be bad.
That's another red flag. John Keefe, news director at WNYC Radio, the co-producer for The Takeaway. Thanks.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.